You are listening to engaging and exciting conversation on the Radiant Culture Podcast.
Get ready.
Now. What's up, everybody? This is the Radiant Culture Podcast, and this is your host, Cookie Monster. And I'm joined today in the studio by the one and only Mr. Kent.
Yeah, what it do, what it do.
Yeah, what it do. And then today we have a special, very, very special guest. And I know I use this word often when referring to our guests, but this guest...
Every guest is special.
Yeah, to all our guests, you know you're special. But this guest is particularly special because of where we come from with them and the history that we have with them. We have our boy in the building, and this is Tenaye.
Yo, what's happening?
A.K.A. Fatal Dog.
That's right.
Fatal.
That's right.
What's up, bro?
Dave, what boys?
Hey.
I'm just thinking. What was up with those names?
Those names, man.
We had some crazy names.
You had Triplock?
Yeah, that sounds violent, actually. That sounds like some
Fatal
kind of...
Triplock.
That's crazy. So just to give some background to those of you who don't know. So Keith, or Mr. Kent, Fatal, and Blah, who's no longer here with us, we're part of a hip-hop group called Heaven's Language. So, then Tenaye had to leave. He relocated to the UK. So I think the most prominent faces were Blah and Keith, but of course Fatal has always been part of the trio.
Yeah.
And then there was the rest of us who were sort of just like
entourage.
The entourage or the extension.
Yeah, the extension.
You know, guys like myself, Sam Kabambe and others.
Yeah, Peter.
Paraza.
Yeah. But one I don't wanna describe him a certain way, but
let's say Peter was a bit of an enigma.
No, the other brother, Sean. Was it Sean?
Oh, Sean. Sean.
You remember Sean?
Yeah.
Sean Pallone.
Yes.
Sean Pallone. Anyway, so as you can see, we've come a long way. So just to give some background, so we actually met in high school.
Yeah.
And that's many, many moons ago.
The very first day, actually.
Crazy.
Oh yeah, I met you on the first day. You're reminding me of that story.
Well, I didn't because I was in the top class, and until I got demoted.
You came back to our level.
Until I got demoted, but yeah, man, we had the craziest times, you know, back in high school, and I think the most phenomenal thing that. Well, because the love for music, obviously, that brought us together.
Yeah.
But I think beyond that, the most phenomenal thing that happened for us is meeting the Lord in school and how our lives transformed. And then we just all went crazy for God, you know, as teenagers and just went punk, you know. And I think the most amazing thing for me is the fact that we're all sitting here. We're all still serving God. Mm. You know, Fatal, you're based in the UK now. Mm. We're here, sons of the soil.
I'm a son of the soil as well.
Yeah, you definitely are. You just have a bit of an accent now.
Do I have an accent?
Of course you do.
I don't think so, bro. But anyway,
But he actually doesn't.
No, but he does. No, he's got a bit of. No. Listen, there's definitely.
Okay.
Certain intonations, certain words, the way you pronounce certain words, and it's okay.
But it's listen. It's like
No. You're still good.
Yeah.
But I tend to my inner.
Owns. Eish.
What's happening with other owns?
Eish. You can't even like, dude. Owns sound British, bro. Like.
Yeah. It is what it is, guys.
Maybe it's a fake accent.
No, I also think that. I think what happens naturally when you move to another country, especially when you're there for such a long time, is that naturally there's certain things that you pick up because also people need to hear you.
Definitely.
Yeah, because now everyone's like, hey, hello, excuse me. So then you naturally then, I've got friends who went to Australia, I've got friends all over the place who just kind of ended up, yeah. You still born there when owns now, you try to fake it. Yeah, and then you're like, I know some people, but no, we're not mentioning names today. We're being kind. So, yeah, gents, it's good to meet again. I know the last time that we had you in the studio was in 2017.
That's right. Wow. Yeah, 2017.
That's
yeah.
hectic.
And I remember that episode because it was right in the middle of the coup.
Oh, flip, okay. Yes.
Yeah.
Because that's when, oh my word.
Yeah, it was right in the middle.
Yeah.
The coup that wasn't a coup.
Yeah, soft coup. It was a soft coup.
Soft.
Yeah, that's what they called it on the mainstream media.
Yeah.
That's crazy, man. But I mean, guys, let's talk about this, you know, because I think I often find myself thinking about just the journey of life. You know, there's so many things that in my earlier years of being a Christian, of serving God, there's so many things that I used to, there were perspectives that I had, you know, but through the journey, through the passage of time and through just journeying in this walk, you learn so many things, you learn so many lessons, and it's a continuous it's a continuous journey. But I think my biggest question to the both of you is, what's kept you going? So many soldiers have fallen off the bandwagon. Some have totally jumped off the faith altogether. You know, some have adopted some sort of syncretism or some sort of, you know what I'm saying? It's just some version of the faith that's commingled with stuff. But what's kept you gents going?
That's a serious question.
Yeah.
I'd call that a 100-mark question. 100 marks. Wow. What's kept me going? I think I'll use a phrase from the last piece of work HL did, the realness of life.
Yeah.
I'll use that phrase and say the realness of life. But I think when I say the realness of life, as it relates to God, God being actually real, being real to me. You know, I've got people I know who have a perception of what Christianity is, but they don't know the reality of what Christianity is. And I think Christianity to me, it's personal. You know, it's a relationship. I'm a son, you know, and I belong to a family. I belong to a kingdom. So even though life is real and we go through the issues of life and the realness of life, God has been real to me. My faith has been practical to me. Me being here right now is my faith.
Right.
It's me walking with God. And I think certain people may not have understood or had a revelation of what this walk is about. You know, this walk is not about being perfect. It's a day-to-day thing.
Yeah.
Right.
And it's a real thing.
Right. Yeah.
And I was saying to you, Keith, when we were coming here, I was saying, dude, I get the Zim economy.
Yeah.
But I also understand that when I was here, we were going through hyperinflation.
Yeah.
But we were thriving, right? We had streams of income.
Yeah.
We were in high school and we had businesses.
Yeah.
And we were thriving.
Yeah.
But you can't really explain that, you know? But that was God being real to us.
Yeah.
Isn't that crazy? Isn't that crazy how we started running a business in high school?
Yeah, and all three of us, funny,
we were all part of that business.
How crazy was that?
What did we do with that money, though?
Bruh.
I don't even know. Listen.
I know part of it we used it to buy our suits for the...
Listen, 50K went...
For the dance.
Yeah.
Listen, 50K went missing.
Some money went missing.
And nobody still knows.
And then we did it. And then we didn't even care. That's how much money we were making. We're making 300% profit.
Do you know, guys? This is a crazy story. Do you know that part of the money, there's some money that from the earnings that we're getting there, do you know, I actually used some of the money to offset some of my fees.
Really?
Are you serious?
I'm telling you.
Wow.
Because around that time, my dad was now struggling with my school fees, and I literally paid part just like a part of my fees I paid with the money that we were getting from our.
That was crazy. I remember the teacher in charge. What was his name again? Forgetting his name.
That Kabali's. He's got short body.
That counts.
There's a time we submitted our accounts to him. Mm. And he was ticked off.
Yeah.
Because we never gave him a cut.
Yeah, I remember that. That was kind of foolish of us.
That was raw. That was.
Yeah, I guess we were young. But I just think of stuff like that. I think of UCT, the club that we started.
Yeah, you know,
with the permission of Mr. Barnes, and how that just became a thing.
Yeah.
And we just make music.
I
think of the grace of God and the things that happened during those days.
Yeah.
And, you know, I hear you speaking about the realness of life. And I think many times we don't realize that the foundation that God gives you is often in ways that are very unassuming, right? Where you don't understand why God brings people together.
Mm.
Sometimes you're coming from very different backgrounds, right?
Mm.
But somehow you end up just becoming brothers, and you walk this journey together, you know? And so, I mean, there's so many things from back then that happened. So many crazy.
I just remembered something, DMX. Oh, man.
Maybe you may want to give some context there.
Yeah. So basically, I want to laugh. So Kuda's nickname was DMX. I was in front of DMX. But about a DMX, that's like my brother. He would always ask about you. Do you know that?
Wow.
He would always be like, come on, DMX. Even now, when I speak about Zim or whatever, he's like, come on, DMX.
Isn't that crazy?
Because Kuda used to do the what was that? Stop.
Yeah. Rough Riders Anthem.
And he knew the lyrics. So, yeah, man. I remember the first day I saw you, I was like, who's this guy? Then the olds were like, the borders in school.
One, bro.
They're like, ah, the DMX, it's DMX, DMX. I was just like, okay.
Yeah, guys.
Then I remember meeting Keith. It was in an exam, right?
Yeah, you know those grading exams.
Graded exam.
Oh, snap. That's when you guys met.
Yeah. And guess what the conversation was? Maybe you want to tell them, man. What was the convo, bruv?
Owen was like, and just throw my
arm. Come on, bro. You're the cheating in the Arab.
Bro, I was asking him and Quenda, bro. It's like, ah, right, please, what my answer? Please.
Oh, what an answer, bro. What a test.
But you know, that shows negotiation skills, guys.
No, definitely.
That shows interpersonal skills.
For sure.
You're asking a complete stranger for something you actually need. But anyway.
But in what, you know, I look back at that, and I look at the schooling system today, just the way, you know, the way society is now, right?
Yeah.
What are some major changes that have happened between now and then? When we went to school, obviously we had no smartphones.
Yeah.
And all of that. So it was a very different world.
Mm.
But you know, the one thing that's been constant is God's goodness, God's faithfulness.
Mm.
You know, and so the question that I asked earlier was, when you look at some of the differences between the world then and the world now, do you think that the lighties today, right, can still have what we managed to build back then? Given the way the world is now, given the fact that there's so many distractions, the world is very different. There's a whole virtual world that is there now. You know, is it still possible? Or rather, what would it take for somebody to really build relationships like that are going to last a lot, last a lifetime. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, I think our relations were linking across different aspects. So there's the high school aspect, PE. And within that, there's the church aspect, going to church together. There's the creative aspect where we were actually building stuff together.
Yeah.
Right.
Like we've done things together. I remember being in school and saying, yo, listen, I got this new hook. It goes, more loaves and more fish, more flows and more hits. With Holy Spirit lyrics, we spark the regiment. We rock the continent. We got to represent. Feeding thousands, making disciples of men. More loaves and more fish, more flows and more hits. With Holy Spirit lyrics, we spark the regiment. We rock the continent. We got to represent. Feeding thousands, making disciples of men. And it's like, oh, yeah. Dope. Let me do my verse. I want to do my verse. And then... You know what I mean? Like you bring a verse, I bring a verse, next thing, oh, studio, and next thing there's a track, right? Yeah. And then jazz club, okay, here's an idea, let's sell donuts or cream puffs, blah, blah, blah. Next thing there's a business.
Yeah.
Right? We were in the trenches together, man. Yeah. You understand? So,
but we were young, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, we were... Bro.
We were young.
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
We did a lot in a short space of time.
Yeah.
We did a lot. I mean, you, Keith, you say, hey, let's start. This is 2003, 2004. You say, oh, let's start this club.
Yeah.
But we focus on music.
Yeah.
Production. We focus on digital.
Yeah.
But we present this to the headmaster. Mr. Yeah. Clive Barnes.
Yeah.
Because they're just traditional.
Traditional instruments. And then we write the letter to say we want to create this upcoming talent club that focuses on digital skills and digital music.
Yeah.
Because the game is changing. Yeah. That was futuristic, bro.
Futuristic, yeah.
So we were pioneers. Yeah. And if you remember at the time, when we used to call Innocent Chuma, that was around, I think, 2000.
2000, yeah, millennium.
That's when
millennium.
That's
man.
When the Future album dropped. So Urban Grooves was actually coming in.
Coming in, yeah.
So we were part of the generation that ushered in Urban Grooves, which now ushered in the movement for, I'd say, Zim music.
Yeah. Yeah,
you know, that was the backbone of what is now Zim urban music.
Yeah.
So we were pioneers. Yeah. We were just pioneering. We were just doing. We were audacious.
Yeah.
I think I'd use that
word. We were like kids.
Yeah.
But we had an audacity.
Yeah.
We had an audacity to write a letter to the headmaster and say, we want to do this, right? Yeah. We had an audacity to say, hey, we're going to sell this product. Mm. And our product was beating the competition.
Yeah. Yep.
Only now in the UK, I had a meeting with these accountants, Titch and the other own, Soja.
Yeah. Also, it's such in the UK.
Yeah, and they're telling me stories about how people were sabotaging our business. I didn't even remember. They're like, "Oh yeah, because you were beating the burger guys." So they now had to sabotage you guys. I'm like, I didn't know that.
It was crazy, man. It was crazy.
Those things are running out, my guy.
Yeah.
Tuck shop ladies complained to the headmaster about us.
That was crazy. But you know, shucks, guys. But I'll tell you one
thing. That box would go in like 2 minutes.
Yeah. Yep,
the box of donuts, cream puffs, 2 minutes. Gone. And the lighties are just there with their money. They're like, I better.
I remember, we could only order like, because the bakery only make a certain amount by the time we could collect them.
Yeah.
There was 270 of them. And this is a school with 1,400 kids. So you would see like, if you're not there in time, they're gone.
Gone.
Yeah, they went quick.
Just like that. But I'll tell you this. And then there's so many other things that happened. I particularly remember the rally that we did.
Yeah.
That Scripture Union rally. That at Bishop Tudor Bismarck.
Okay, I remember
Pastor Ivan.
We performed at that rally. Do you know, that was my first time meeting Bishop.
Yeah.
And that was so weird because, do you remember what he said to me?
Nah.
Ah, that was weird, man. He looked at me, he said, "You look like a rapper." And I was just stunned. I froze.
Wow.
And then
I remember that.
Then his son Jason is like, "Yeah, he is a rapper. Yeah. He's gonna rap just now." Yeah. And he's like, "Oh, that's cool." And Bishop was our hero, man. Like,
that's what I'm saying.
We were kids.
We managed to get Bishop to come to a school rally. Yeah.
Dude, we were kids and tutors like our hero. We're listening to this guy's sermons.
Like on a weekly.
Yeah, listening to sermons.
With sample sounds about the music.
Yeah. Yeah.
But you know, guys, I'll tell you this. When I think of, if you look at the book of Daniel, if you look at the Hebrew boys, they're taken into exile, into Babylon, and there's something unique there. There's something amazing about what happens there with the Hebrew boys, where they understood their identity. They understood that they couldn't defile themselves with the food, with all the different things that were happening in Babylon. And their names had been changed. So Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego.
And a bad nigga.
All those guys, those weren't their Hebrew names. Yeah. Those were Babylonian names that they got.
Yeah.
So the whole system was wanting to change their identity. And there's something there that their roots kept them going. Their understanding of where they were coming from and their understanding of who God was is what kept them grounded and allowed them to push through all the different trials and different tests that they had. And I often wonder, you know, when I look back at the foundation that we had, you know, if I'm to just sort of juxtapose our journey with that, just to say, I think there are many things that God embeds into our hearts and into our lives, into our spirits, that that help to carry us through the journey of life. But sometimes we don't see it. But those are the very things that allow us to overcome where others fail, to keep going where others give up. I mean, think about it. You've been in the UK now for how long?
Dude, over 20 years.
You see what I'm saying? And I know
we've known each other for like 26
years. Yeah, listen. Yeah. But the point is,
yeah,
you're still serving God. You're still running. You're still running with the mission. There's no way that you could do that without having a solid foundation. You know what I mean? And in as much as we're talking about our stories and where we've come from, I also want, because we've got many listeners, you know, on the podcast who maybe even some young listeners, and for me, the key thing is them also gleaning some of those things that it wasn't luck.
It wasn't luck.
It was just, well, of course, it was the grace of God. But but the thing for me is how does one, maybe to get practical a little, how does one develop that foundation? You know, how does one come together with a group of friends, brothers or sisters that you come together with, and that you can begin to journey with, and that you can grow with and do life with, because I think now more than ever, that's what's needed in the world that we're living in today. What are some things that you guys would say to that effect?
I think it's the what would I call it? The authenticity that we approached everything with. You know, back in those days, there was just a hunger, you know what I mean? I remember, it's funny how, just give a bit of context as well, how before we were very worldly, you get what I mean?
Yes.
Like, when we met each other, you know, the DMX days, the stuff that we, you know, that was common to us was what you would say, very worldly. And one by one, we all were transformed into the kingdom. And then had that common thing as well. Like you were saying, we were creators, whether it was business or it was music, it was whatever. But we all approached it with this authenticity and this hunger.
Right.
To to get deeper. I remember we used to exchange bishops' sermons on tape.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. That was the hunger, you know, and we'd have conversations around it. You know what I mean? Going to youth religiously on a Friday night.
Yeah.
You know, those seeds were being sown and things were taking root. And obviously, in life, we all have, you know, moments where, you know, the storms come and whatever.
Yeah.
But eventually, those roots will always stay strong
because
they're embedded.
Yeah.
That's
deep.
Yeah, bro. You know, even with church, like I would get up, I think around 5 or something crazy on Sundays.
On Sundays, yeah.
And I wouldn't ask my mom for money for my combi because I had a business.
Yeah.
So I was financing things.
Exactly.
I was operating, Nixie. So we made some sacrifices, man. You know, we were. What can I say? We were doing a lot, like set up things that, you know, things you do out of passion. And hard work, but you may not get recognition for. Yeah. No one's going to say, oh, well done for doing that setup and coming every day and well done for, you know, waking up in the morning early, serving, helping out. Paying my combi, 4 combis every Sunday.
A folder on my hard drive that had a video where we had just finished setup. There was you
on the balcony.
There was you.
Oh,
yes, on the balcony.
Uh-huh.
Yes, on the balcony actually. And there was Pastor E. There was Blah, and now we were having like snacks, like my things and whatever. We just finished setup, and Pastor E was talking to us.
Remember Launchpad?
Yes. Wow. And I'm like. So I'm watching those videos, and it's like,
I need to see this,
it's like, it's still daylight. I think it was around 3, 4.
Yeah.
And it reminded me, like, we used to go that early,
serve. Yeah. Now we used to grind,
And do stuff, prepare things for people.
Yeah. I remember.
And get moments where, because Pastor E was the youth pastor, moments where you've got one-on-ones with the youth pastor, you're discussing issues,
he's
depositing things in you.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Mm. And you're waiting for a service that starts at 6 p.m.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we were there, man. Yeah. I was talking about Launchpad, because Launchpad was the prayer, the prayer before youth. And I remember Gabriel Wenyika,
because
he used to run that. And so I look back now at all these things, and I look at the ages of the people who were doing stuff and the stuff they were doing, you know, and I'm just thinking, this is insane, man. Mm. I was going to say, I remember when I got mugged. So I got mugged walking into town from youth, because we're 28, Josiah Tongogara. Then somebody was supposed to drop me off in town. And then I don't know what happened. Anyway, I was just like, you know what? I'll strap.
Yeah.
After like a dope youth night, I'm walking. And then some street kids just mugged me. And that took.
Where did the judo go, bro?
Judo. The judo. At that moment, the judo.
Did it happen so quickly?
Did it
they
happened.
Assault you or did they? Just...
No. So you know what? I was walking. Yeah. So two of them came from behind me.
Wow.
And just grabbed me, and then the other two grabbed my legs. So it was like 4 guys. So I was wearing these nice sneakers, and then they took my Reeboks. I still remember them, blue and white. They took my Reeboks. I had my bag, which had my 3310,
jeez,
and my brand, like my Bible. First Bible, that broke my heart. Bible. It was like
jeez.
My first ever Bible and some other stuff. Then I got home and my mother was mad. She was mad, well, because she'd been telling me to not do that, travel at night and stuff. And so the guys who saved me were some colored ones, right? So they were... So I think they saw what happened. Then they started running. They're like, ah! So once these guys saw the guys, they ran away. Then so they gave me a lift to my combis. This is like 10 or 11 p.m.
What?
Yeah. And then I got home and whatever. Guess what I did the following Friday?
Went to youth.
I was a youth.
Yeah.
You know? And so I just thought... It's so crazy how there was just this thing where you're like, yeah, whatever, it happened. Mm. We move on, we keep moving.
We were coming from far, bro. It was a 4 combi mission for me. You know what I mean? And we were like, where's this setup?
Exactly. And then security.
Huh?
security.
Oh yeah, because Sam and them used to do security.
We used to be security. Part of the security, remember?
I don't remember. What were we there?
We would patrol and see if there are any lighties that are outside.
And dark, corners.
Yeah. I remember. I was a DJ as well, you know. Playing tracks.
Yeah. So yeah, man, it's all of that. And I think now when I look back at that and just, meditate on all of that and just remember it, for me, I'm blown away by God's, again, God's faithfulness and God's goodness. You know what I mean? I think, wow.
So that would be a prophetic word.
Speak, Papa. Prophesy.
Hey! God is multidimensional. And when we see one dimension of God, we think we've seen it all. We see a dimension and we think, yeah, now I know God, or now I understand God, or now I've seen God. But there are actually more dimensions to God. There are more characteristics. There are more things to discover in God. And so the things that we've experienced and we've seen, though they are these amazing memories and amazing testimonies and amazing victories, I believe that God wants to do something new that is actually going to blow our minds in this next season.
Hey, man.
So the word I would use to bring context to that is the word full circle.
Wow.
Because for me, I've gone away.
Yeah.
So the part of me is like, it's like, how do you reconnect with what was? Like, we're sitting here, bro. Like, we didn't plan.
No.
I messaged you 2 weeks ago. I was listening to the tracks. I was listening to the Realness of Life. And like I said to you, dude, I didn't know I was on the Realness of Life. So I stumbled on this thing in
So you sent in your vocals? Your verse?
Bro, I don't know what kind of thing they did, bro.
Yeah,
I think when I recorded some verses, they used.
You know, we set up that studio before he left at Sam's house.
Yeah.
So, like, daily, we'll just record stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
So we then picked certain things.
Got it.
Yeah.
Clever, man. So I'm in the park, bruh, and I'm just like, bro, I'm just like thinking about life. I'm thinking about Zim. I'm thinking about certain things I need to do. And I don't know. I just Insta Keith. I see a link, Realness of Life. I'm like, what's this? It's not working. Link expired. I'm like, wait, but maybe it's on you. So I go on YouTube.
Yeah.
Then I discover the whole mixtape. And then I hear myself on the songs. I'm like, I'm on the songs.
Yeah.
So, because I never listened to the album because I was away, and I always, it was like a pain in me that I couldn't be here. So I was like, I don't want to listen to the album, bro. And then I did hear it. So now, when I heard it, I was saying to myself, how do we translate this into today? How do we translate the collaboration? How do we translate the giftedness? How do we translate the unity? How do we translate the creativity, the brain power, the pioneering? How do we translate that into now? You understand?
Yeah.
So for me, God is moving. The kingdom always advances. Yeah. We know this. The kingdom advances in structure and in spirit.
Structure and spirit.
That's it. We used to talk about
20 years later.
We used to talk about this when we were kids. I was like, structure and spirit. I got a new revelation. Guys are like, oh, that's deep. Yeah, that's deep. Structure and spirit. So God wants to do something new now, and we got to crack the code.
Yeah.
I've been talking about codes. I've been saying that Joseph was cracking codes because his gift was a gift to crack codes, to decipher. When he was in prison with the butler and the baker, they had dreams. And they're like, yo, 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 we had these dreams, but we don't know what they mean. And Joseph is like, tell me the dreams. And then he cracks the code because he had a gift of prophecy. He had a gift, right? And then he translates that and says, this is what's going to happen. This is what you need to do.
Yeah.
And then the butler's promoted. And then eventually, Joseph ends up being presented to Pharaoh. And then what does he do? He cracks the code. He cracks the code for Pharaoh because Pharaoh has a thing that he needs to decipher, a dream. And then Joseph cracks the code. So now I think that with where we're at, we've got to crack the code. We've got to crack the code of Zim. We've got to crack the code of UK. How do we collaborate? How do we build? How do we integrate? How do we bring these resources together and create a fortified powerhouse?
Right.
You see what I'm saying? I hope I'm making sense. Yeah. So with everything that we did, my question is, what can we do now?
Right. Mm.
We did the UCT. We launched the upcoming talent club, one, right? Heaven's Language, we did the tours, we did the music recordings, we did the performances, we brought hip hop to the church mainstream. We brought hip hop to Celebration Church. We brought hip hop to Action Conference.
Right.
Yeah. With a real loaf of bread.
I remember that.
As part of the performance, right? We did the jazz club, the business club, 300% profit margin on items.
Yeah.
Right? Three projects so far. Mm. What are we done? The Yellow Boys selling my tapes, CDs for Hear the Music record label. That's four projects, right? A lot of stuff.
Yeah. So, and then, of course, there's so many other things that are offshoots of all those things that are directly or indirectly. Yeah. Results of all of those things. Like this podcast, for example.
Ah, okay, yeah.
You see what I'm trying to say?
That's a good point. And you say that at the same time.
Yeah. Jinx. You know what they say about great minds. Yeah. But
We got to tap in. We got to tap in and bring out, excavate. We got to dig deep and we got to excavate the diamond because there's diamonds in the rough. Mm. You understand? I spent 3 months in Zim in 2017. I was only meant to be here for like 2 weeks. But I now spark when and people are telling me things are tough, things are difficult. And I was just thinking, you Marige, idea. Here's an idea. That's an idea. Yeah. Like I could just see ideas everywhere.
I remember that.
And I'm thinking, bro, like this place is crazy because the economies of scale, you can build something and it can just grow. Yeah, yeah. But in London, you can't necessarily do the same thing because the market's saturated. So that's the kind of mentality I have and the mentality I'm bringing. But back Kune Jangwari as well. Amen. Thank you, Pastor. I think identity plays a big thing. Mm. For me, when I've had identity crisis, because I've had some identity crisis in my journey.
Yeah, yeah.
It's been like Simba. I see myself like Simba, bro. Mm. And that remember who you are. You know that conversation with Mufasa.
Yeah.
You got to take your place in the circle of life.
Yeah.
And Simba was eating my bugs. But he's not meant to eat bugs.
Yeah.
You see? So
that's what Pumbaa and
Timon. Yeah, that identity thing is is.
Used to call you Pumbaa.
Shut up.
Why is he calling you that though?
Him and Blah.
Pumbaa and Timon.
Are you serious? Oh, that's cute though. That's cute. But yeah, I think that identity piece.
That's such a good point.
Because you spoke about what's that point you made earlier?
Authenticity.
Authenticity and hunger.
Yeah.
And I think the identity piece, but also the community piece, belonging.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they say that addiction, when people struggle with addiction, when you dig deep enough, you can actually find that there's a challenge with authenticity.
Mm.
There's a challenge with belonging.
Mm.
There's a challenge with identity.
Yeah.
So we've actually spoken about these things.
Yeah.
So with belonging, what I want to say is that Simba needed to belong. And yeah. now he's rolling with Pumba and Timon, which is fair and fine. Okay? Yeah. But that ain't really who you are. You're a lion.
Mm.
Right? The righteous are as bold as a lion, you know? Mm. So identity and belonging are fundamental things. And I think we were blessed to have certain seeds sown into us institutionally.
Mm-hmm.
For example, PE.
Yeah.
Belonging to PE was a major identity piece because we were being brainwashed in a good way. Yeah. We were being brainwashed
from day one
to be winners.
Yeah.
We were actually, you know, when I went to Kingston Uni, you know, I went there and I was winning awards and I was just doing stuff. Like I was, bro, I was on a mad one, like we would say in London. I was on a mad one, bruv. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Right.
Because I had a PE mentality, like win, go after it, get it, let's go.
It's that whole Etonian
thing, bro. I was just, and certain people caught up to that later. I've got a friend who runs like a tech company now.
Yeah.
He's doing really well. He's got a podcast called The Techish Podcast. He's got a website called Post It, People of Color in Tech. He's doing big things. That guy used to laugh at me in uni. He'll be like, why are you going to Entrepreneurs Club? Why are you doing that? And just hates him.
Yeah.
And now he's like a geek, bro. Like the guy is now like a tech guy.
Yeah.
And he's now like how I was.
Uh-huh.
So back to identity and belonging. I think those things are so important because they keep you grounded. Because you can always remember who you are. You can always be like, I'm Tanaya, I'm a son, I'm a believer, I'm a kingdom citizen.
Mm-hmm.
I belong to a family. I'm not an orphan. I belong to a father, and I can always cry to the father and say Abba.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And even if I mess up, I can go home and dad will be running to me to say my son, because that's the prodigal son story.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The father actually runs, which was contrary to the culture of the day, to run.
Yeah.
But he's running towards the son.
Yeah.
So at the end of the day, we got to know that if we mess up, I can go to God and say, Dad, I messed up.
Yeah.
And dad is going to embrace me. And I think these are the fundamentals. These are the foundations.
Yeah.
I love that. And especially that piece about belonging is so crucial because I feel that, again, the way the world is sort of structured these days and the way things are going, it's very easy to get lost in your own world.
Mm.
Right. And again, there's a whole cyber world that you can live in now. You can, and everything, even your timeline on all these different platforms is curated.
Yes.
To your preferences. That's what the algorithm is feeding you.
Yes.
So but it becomes your own little
bubble,
your own little cloister that you've got there. Mm. But the danger of that is that it takes away the element of community because you've got to do life with other people.
Mm.
You need to have, you can't run to a machine.
Mm.
You see what I'm trying to say? You've got to have people that hold you in check and people that help you to realize the potential that you have and the gifts that you have and people that will stretch you and challenge you. You've got to have that. And I think another thing that we forget about the whole aspect of identity is that it's not just about today. It's about the people you're building with.
Mm.
And you've got to build with people that you're going to be with 20 years from now.
Mm.
So we've got to think about the long term as well.
Mm.
And I really believe that there's a reason why scripture talks about us not forsaking the assembling together. Mm. There's a reason why scripture talks about there being unity when brethren are together. You know what I'm saying? Mm. And that's something that we need to fight for. Mm. And that would be my encouragement to people out there to say, whether you become super successful or whether you find yourself in a place where maybe things are just not working out, the one thing that you must always endeavor to fight for is that sense of community, to have but you've got to fight for that. It doesn't happen by itself. You know, you've got to keep the friendships going. You've got to stay in touch. Mm. You know, it takes effort. It takes work.
Yeah.
You've got to work through the issues and the disappointments and the disagreements. Mm. But it's the fruit that comes out of that. Mm. You know, and I believe that's how God wanted us to be, to build life, to do life together, to build each other, to help each other, to walk together through the different seasons of life.
Yeah.
And I feel that the world, and I think it's actually a devilish thing, that's being stripped away.
Mm.
Because now you can just do you. And I actually hate that statement.
Oh, yeah.
You know, do you
and I'm going to do me.
You see what I'm trying to say? Yeah. And it's, we've become very individualistic and very inward focused. But it's destroying us because it doesn't work, because that's not how we're meant to be.
Mm.
Yeah.
Nah, that's real.
The realness of life.
That's real. And it's funny, we were talking about something with my family I visited earlier, my tete, and we were just talking about isolation, and I was talking about a relative, and I was just saying, oh, you know what? I think they're a little isolated at the moment, but when I speak to the person, they pack up. You know, they come alive.
Yeah.
When I called them, when I went to see them, they come alive. And I was just saying that it's important to be with people. We take it for granted, you know. But that's what God said, you know. It's not good for man to be alone. So my tete was now saying, you know, God was probably also speaking of humanity in general.
Right.
When he said it's not good for man to be alone. We know that he created Eve and gave, we know the story. But she was just saying that for anyone, it's not good to be alone.
Yeah.
So what you find is that even in COVID, the narrative, you know, I don't want to go too deep into that, but the narrative was prescribing certain things that were actually not good.
Mm.
Don't be with people.
Don't
hug people. Mm. But those are things we actually fundamentally need. We need to hug. We need to touch. Mm. We need to be with people.
Yeah.
You actually need to get outside and get some sunlight because it's good for you. So, hey, that's a different topic. But you hear what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So identity and belonging, I think those are major, major pieces.
So, as we get ready to wrap up, I love the three pieces that you brought up there.
Yeah.
Authenticity, identity, and belonging.
Mm.
I think those are really, those are really, really, really good. Mm. And if you look at the way before the Lord left the earth, when he left the disciples, again, it was that thing that it was a group of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they were all together in the upper room, and when the Holy Spirit descended, there's, you know, and these apostles then went on to serve the Lord in different ways. Some went on to die for their faith and stuff, but they started a fire that's still burning today.
Mm.
You know, so I would then say that, you know, as we get ready to wrap up, what are some ways that, in fact, not even that. What are some parting words that you have, that you guys have for our listeners before we close up this episode?
I think if we zoom into what we've spoken about, if we zoom into identity, belonging, and authenticity, let's zoom into identity and authenticity for a sec. I think being yourself is important. Not trying to be something you're not. I think it's important. And I think what we find in Babylon is there was, you know, when they wanted to build the Tower of Babel, right? They said, let us make bricks.
Mm-hmm.
Let us make BRICS. Mm. BRICS speaks of uniformity.
Mm.
It's this, they're the same. Mm. It's just BRICS. BRICS are just the same.
Yeah.
Now, when you look at Babylon, Babylon's agenda is to create uniformity. It's to make everyone the same.
Right.
But it's to strip your identity away from you.
Mm.
So Babylon doesn't want authenticity. Babylon wants carbon copies.
Uniformity.
Yeah. So Babylon wants to brainwash you and make you something that you are not.
Mm.
But we're called to be living stones.
Mm.
Am I right when I say that?
Yeah.
So what's a living stone? A stone is unique.
Yeah.
If you bring my dombo banaba, my stones, they're different.
They're very identical.
No.
They're all different.
They're different.
So be who you're meant to be. Mm-hmm. Don't try and be the guy. Don't try and be Drake. Yeah. Don't try and be Tupac. Don't try and be someone else.
Mm.
Be you. Be proud to be you.
Mm.
Discover your gifts, your talents. Work on that. Build on that. And embrace that. Embrace who you are. Embrace your identity, and build based on that. Recognizing that the system doesn't want you to do that. So.
Wow.
So, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. There's a quote.
And skit and raterera. Yeah. What's that lady's name? Vault. He's got a skit and he's got like a pastor on.
Nah, I haven't heard it.
Ah, and then the pastor on is saying, but my pressures, imuno mazwano, you know, which told George, our sadza, nimkaka, urunakirwa. And then you see something on TV. Someone's eating something else, and then now you're not appreciating what you're eating because of what you're seeing.
What you're seeing, yeah.
You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So we have so much noise. We have so much stimuli. We have so much external distractions. You know, you go on Insta, something's being presented to you.
Yeah.
Right? These options, these choices, and it's like, it's too much.
Yeah.
I don't think we were created to handle so much stimuli, bruh. It's overstimulating, bruh.
Yeah.
Right? So now it's almost like you can't appreciate what you have because of all this noise.
Mm.
So we've got to appreciate what we have.
Yeah.
Be grateful for what we have, work with what we have, where we are. And be who we are, be who we gotta be, become who we need to become, and it's a journey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love this. I was just looking up there's a C.S. Lewis quote that I just remembered as you were sharing about how the world wants us, the world really wants us to become more and more of the same kind of person, which is really sort of what the world, what Babylon, like you said, is gunning towards. Whereas God wants us to become who we are, who he created us to be. C.S. Lewis says this in his book, Mere Christianity. He says, how monotonously alike all the great tyrants and conquerors have been. How gloriously different are the saints.
Wow.
And in that, you know, there's a greater context to that. Of course, I highly recommend Mere Christianity. I love C.S. Lewis. But in that quote, he's basically talking, in that chapter, he's referring to the fact that if you look at all the tyrants, all the people who've caused all kinds of disasters in the world, you can see a pattern in the way that they are, in the way that they behave, and the things that motivate and drive them, which is almost similar to the way sin and the world and evil works, right? Whereas when you look at the saints, they're all so different. Right, it's sometimes the most unlikely of people who get used by God to do all these great things. Sometimes it's the guy who's just like super wealthy, right? But because he loves God so much, he goes and does something where, you know, he's giving away his wealth or he's helping. But I'm just saying there's such a uniqueness to each one of us when we plug into God, because God has a way of bringing his life in and through us, right? To touch and to impact people. So I don't have to become like somebody else. No, I can get inspired. I can want to emulate certain traits that somebody else has, but I can still be authentically myself in God. Mm. You know, and I think that's a beautiful thing. And now you spoke about living stones, that when those living stones come together, then we become this unstoppable force because we're bringing our gifts, we're bringing our uniqueness, our different perspectives, all for the glory of the kingdom. Mm. And I think that's a beautiful thing.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just don't.
That's
a sermon right there.
Right there.
That's a sermon right there. And on that bombshell, we're going to wrap it up. Thank you all so much for listening. And it's been amazing just having the gents in the room, seeing Tanaya again with his British accent. You know, and we also have a lovely young lady sitting in the studio who's you shall hear her speak soon.
She's the real producer.
The real producer. Yeah, but guys, it's been real. Thank you all so much for listening. I hope that you've gleaned something from this conversation, and something that will encourage you, something that will spur you on in your journey, and remind you that you should be, number one, authentic. Number two, you should find your identity in Christ. And number three, you've got to fight for your belonging because you've got to be with the brethren.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Amen. Thanks for having me. God bless you.
Awesome, bro. Let's not wait for another 8 years.
Okay.
Let's.
No. We came to spark something. So this is the...
Spark the regiment.
Full circle. Spark the regiment. We rock the continent.
Feeding thousands.
Yo, actually, let me drop something. Can I drop something?
Go for it.
Hey, I'm like, let me drop something like it's my show. Protocols.
Go for it.
Oh, Jerusalem, you children are lost and still pursuing sin. Twisted with ambitions and all, it's kind of glued to them. Tricky how it's easy to fall, evil consumes men. Diffusion triggers illusion and confusion. We need a pattern from the trend through the blueprint. Knowledge and wisdom plus the church in unison. We would win if that was combined and we were true to him. One step at a time, so just recruit me in. To your army and recruit me as a soldier. Am I perverted? Is the world getting colder? I see the light, but the burden's on my shoulder. We gotta fight and unite like I told ya. Hey.
I remember that verse. Oh yeah, the rapper man is back.
Yo! Let's make music.
Let's build the kingdom.
And let's build
I love it, man. Thank you, gents. Thank you, listeners.
Yeah.
This is Radiant Culture. We're out. Peace.
Peace.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the Radiant Culture Podcast. If you want to make a contribution, make a suggestion, or have a request, you can get in touch with us via email on radiant@thehub.co.zw or inbox us on Facebook and Twitter. Look out for the next episode and remember to share this one with everybody you know. God bless.
It's hot. It's fresh. It's uncut. #RealTalk on the Radiant Culture Podcast.